What country is this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb zloty gniew.
Hello and welcome to Human Age, the Bohan Simpson podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
Very well, Terry. Very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it. Yes. Well, week 3, 4, 10?
Who knows at this stage?
I'm starting to lose it.
Yeah. I'm getting there.
See, like, it's a weird, and it's funny because I was only watching a public service thing from Larry David of all people yesterday. I don't know if you've seen it, where he's like, you're going out. I don't know what you're doing. But he's like, you're passing up. It's like a once in a lifetime opportunity to stay at home and do nothing. like just watch TV. Like, it's like, just it's so surreal, like, yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, we won't dwell on it for too long, because I was only even saying this to Kerry, that it's like, I've never known a time where, like, everything is about it, like, every news story, there's not one bit of news that isn't about. We've been watching it, right? But the thing that I don't like about it is the constant, like, the latest up-to-date stats on people who have it and all this sort of stuff. It's like they're rolling out this thing of like the like, oh, what's the number for today? What's it, you know, like, we don't need as up to date information, you know what I mean? I just think that's a little bit, I don't know, distasteful or something, you know what I mean?
No, look, it is hard out there, yeah. I guess. And like, we're not even going outside anymore. You know, we were out for a walk on Saturday, and then I was getting real anxious of just like people being around, and I was like, I was staying within the 2K or whatever.
Yeah.
But I was like, fucking hell, like certain people, like, we had the buggy with us, so they were like getting out of our way because we couldn't get out of the way. Other people just like barreling straight towards you. And I feel like being like, hello.
Hello.
You know, like, hey, get out of here.
We're lucky that, like, you know, you have the seafront there, and I've got like the duck pond right behind my gaff as well, like, for any sort of just little walks and stuff like that. But like, even in Aldi, going around, like, half the people are in masks, and most people are wearing gloves.
Have you started doing the old online shop yet? No.
No, I haven't actually.
We've got one coming tomorrow.
Tesco.
Super Value.
Now I'll
tell you how much I spent. And
go on. Yes, I'll tell you how much figures.
I dropped a cool €170.
Ooh.
Ridiculous. Never in my life. Never in my life.
The veg they give you will be good for one day. I tell you, get you.
I tell you what. Now, in fairness, a good amount of it is on alcohol. So, you know.
Right, okay.
You know, if you're talking a bottle of wine is £10, you know, beers, whatever. But anyway, you know.
You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah,
stay sane.
Yeah. Hey, man, I'm bearing it up right now.
What is that again?
It's gargles. My gargles. Rosie's pale ale. It's tasty.
My gargles. I've got my pink drink in a unicorn sippy cup. Yeah. So
I bet you it's a summer fruit.
And I've got two ponytails in my hair, Terry, as I'm sure you have seen. Straight away.
That's the thing. The isolation, it gives me time to try out new hairstyles.
You say that. You're sending me a picture of the hairstyle, but it looks very, very just well kept in the pictures that you're sending me.
But look at the height. Like, I'm getting,
you're going up MC Hammer style.
I'm going up Johnny Bravo style.
It is actually quite Johnny Bravo-esque. Yeah. I'm glad, I'm not glad, but you know, one thing this coronavirus situation is doing is letting me pass through undetected in my horrendous, awkward hair length phase of trying to grow it out.
Planning on growing it out? Like,
I want to just put it in a ponytail. That's why I've got it in two ponytails today. And I was going to wear a dressing gown and all. That was the sort of mood I was in, walking around the house in a dressing gown. But here's a question for you, right? I wanted to ask you. I was only talking about this with Kerry like an hour or two ago. Now, I'm not the most intelligent man, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're not, Andy.
Go on.
Spare it, Terry. I am not the most intelligent man in the world. But can you explain something to me, right?
Maybe.
Now, I know I'm going to put this in really overly simplistic terms, right? People are saying, okay, the coronavirus, you know, the cost of all, you know, the money that the government are borrowing and all this sort of stuff, and that there's going to be, the next epidemic is going to be, you know, a financial one, paying it back and all this sort of stuff. Can you explain to me, I know I'm oversimplifying this, why do, right, I'm going to try and ask a question without sounding like an idiot. Why do the people that they're paying it back to not say, it's grand? Who are they paying it back to? Is it not like two dozen people who are actually just the ones lending out all this?
It's like that
cash?
That thing in Game of Thrones. What were they called? The bank country, you know, that like gave
the
everybody
Royal Bank or not the Royal Bank?
They gave everybody money for ships or whatever like that. Yeah, like, you know, like it's
so
like that. Like
it's starting somewhere. So yeah. You know,
it's money.
Am I oversimplifying it and saying like these people are just saying, yeah, well, you got to pay us back with interest. Yes, your country will go into recession. I know I'm oversimplifying this.
Look,
but like,
that's I'll be cards on the table. That's a little bit outside of my wheelhouse. I was
Kerry kept saying to me that was like, if there's more of it, then it's worth less. And I'm like, yeah, but like that's fair
that
enough
is
if
true.
If you've got like a pile of rocks, and then you say, okay, here's, you know,
no, but
money
like,
is worth what we say it's worth.
If you've ever
this
seen
is so
that,
outside my wheelhouse.
If you've ever seen The Social Network.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
So remember the scene where they issue new shares?
Yes.
And it's like Andrew Garfield shares that were like 35% go down to like 0.03% because they issue so much new stock to get new investors.
Right. Okay.
And that then you get that scene. Mark! I'm coming back. I'm not coming back for half. I'm coming back for everything. You better lawyer up, douchebag.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, great scene.
But I feel like it's within someone's capability.
Probably.
To
like,
say,
they're talking like trillions.
Here's a bunch of money that we've printed. Just use it on coronavirus related paybacks and aid. I know this
look,
is like
I,
a hippie
look,
douchebag
look.
Version of the world. But
I
don't understand. If someone can explain it to me like you're explaining it to an 8-year-old, please get in touch. If
I'd much rather talk
major.
About what you've been watching.
Now, Terry. Now.
That isn't on Disney Plus. Wink.
I've watched two things.
Oh.
One I was very excited about when I seen the trailer for it. It's called The Platform.
Oh, yeah. You didn't watch it. No.
Jesus.
I wasn't excited about it at all.
Really?
Give me Cube any day, mate.
No, but to see this is my exact sort of movie. It's
Have you seen Cube?
No, I haven't. But let me talk about Platform. It's a movie whose premise you can explain very quickly. They're stuck on a floor. There's a platform that goes up and down with food. If you're at the top, you get loads of food. If you're at the bottom, you get the scraps or nothing.
Okay.
And every month, I know this isn't just in a sentence, like I said it would be.
No, no. But like
and every month,
you're pitching
you wake
it to me.
Up. Every month, they wake up on a different floor. So the guys could be like, last month I was at number 6, you know, or whatever.
And
they're
and
like,
they
oh, wow,
12.
Number 6. It's like, I was in number 182 and all this sort of stuff, you know, and we got nothing sort of thing. And they have to eat each other and kill each other and all this sort of stuff. Really good. But it's a Spanish movie. I had it dubbed.
Oh,
I had the option of having it subtitled or dubbed. And I had it dubbed. I tried the subtitles for about 5 minutes. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go with the dub. It's
you're
a bit
asshole.
Confusing. Why?
Why would you dub it? Like,
it's too... I don't know. It was easier. It was easier for me to watch. They're speaking in English, right? You ignorant prick. You crass son of a bitch. I wish the listeners could see what wholesome Terry Tono was just doing down his webcam. Anyway, I had it dubbed and... But see, the problem with when it's dubbed is it's different to the subtitles. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it's not the same wording. So that was a
subtitles.
Problem. But you know what? Fine. But we had to have the volume down kind of low. So I was like, you know. Anyway. So I thought that was quite good. It was a bit... The end of the night I didn't love. But
why
I,
do you
I
have
would
to
recommend
have the volume down low?
90... Well, I don't know. I don't know.
You always say to me, "You have to have the volume down low." Why do you have to have it down low?
I don't know. It's just I don't know. It's just how we do it, all right? So the turn platform, up, like, 90 okay. minutes. And
would you recommend it?
I would recommend it. It's something different, something, you know, very, it looked very good and all that sort of stuff. I also watched a zombie movie
mm-hmm.
on this. These are both on Netflix, by the way. The Night Eats the World.
Okay.
He wakes up in a zombie pandemic. Absolutely terrible.
Right, okay.
And like, it had me, and I thought this was another Spanish dub, and I was like, right, we'll just dub it and just go in and watch it. It was an American movie, so I was wrong.
Who was in it?
Nobody, like.
Yeah, okay.
But it starts off like pretty good. Like the zombies run, but they're silent. You know what I mean? So they're running like,
oh, okay.
You know what I mean? So he's trying to get in his car, he doesn't quite hear them coming all of a sudden. Like,
they're doing
everything. Yeah. But like,
you can't hear them screaming, like,
yeah, you can't hear them while off. So he just turns around, there's someone there, and they're it's all silent. So but then it like the lead character, it's all about this one guy. He's the movie, basically. And he is so unlikable that, I mean, I like it. Now, cards on the table, I didn't finish it. But he is so unlikable. You're spending the movie just watching this guy just going a bit mad in his house, doing a dance, or like, I'm like, why am I watching this? Like, what has this got to do with the? I'm sorry, what are you doing?
Eats the
man. Yeah, The Night Eats the World. Good title, I'll give it that.
Anders Danielson Lee. Are you sure this is American?
Maybe it wasn't. Was it dubbed the whole time?
I think so, because.
No way. There's not a lot of dialogue in it.
Yeah, I think it's...
I wonder if the zombies did actually make noise, but they just didn't do it on the dubbed version. And it's weird, because they didn't make any noise. It's weird that. Where if I'd have listened to it on the actual audio, perhaps I would have heard it.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. I'm looking at all the names, like Gol Shifef Farahani, Dennis Levant, Sigrid Bouzaziz.
Yeah, what are you trying to say? Yeah, what are you trying to say? They can't be in an American movie?
They're not American, mate.
Whatever.
But I'll tell you who is American.
Go on.
Ben Affleck.
Sure is.
And I watched a movie with him in it called The Way Back.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Let me tell you right now. It's over 2 hours and 20 minutes long, isn't it?
I'll check it.
A bitch, isn't it?
I'll check it. I don't think it is. Have it even let me get to the synopsis.
I'm sorry.
The Way Back.
Good. The running time is
1 hour 48 minutes. Okay. And you know what? It felt like. And it was. It is a great. And I mean that in a good way. The best way possible.
Right.
This film is. Ben Affleck is a working Joe, works on a building site, whatever. Yeah. But he's an alcoholic.
Right.
So he's like bloated Ben Affleck.
Okay.
He gets asked to come coach his old high school basketball team because he was the best player they ever had.
Damn it, you're the best we ever had.
They haven't hit the playoffs since he was playing, you see.
I will admit to you, I do love movies like this.
Oh, man. I forgot how much I love a good sports movie. Like, well. And it's like Coach Carter, kind of like.
I was just thinking Coach Carter when you were giving
me that. It's better than Coach Carter, I think, because, you know, my Coach Carter, Samuel L. Jackson, is so, you know, proper. Yeah. And we address each other as sir, whatever.
Yeah.
In this, Ben Affleck at the start, he like, kind of doesn't care. And. They're losing team anyway when he takes over, and his way of getting whipping them into shape is like shouting at them and calling them fucking pussies.
Great.
like sort of like he's like, you're acting like a fucking pussy out there. Like he's like, we might be, if we're not as good a team, like we're not gonna be out toughed or whatever like that. Like, and that's kind of right. What, because he like they only have like 6 or 7 players and then a couple of like junior guys on the team.
Yeah,
but I thought it was great. I really like it was
Netflix.
He's at his best when he plays like normal Joe, you know, yeah. Like
Not like, Batman. Did he play Batman?
He played Batman, like, yeah, the recent ones. But, like, if you look at, like, when The Town, like, he plays that was great. Fucking, like, blue-collar Boston guy, you know, or, like...
like Goodwill Hunting.
Huh? Yeah, good, like yeah, fucking Chucky. Goodwill Hunting. Huh?
Yeah.
You're suspect.
Was it on Netflix?
Oh, no. It's on that I sent you a link for Bad Boys 4 or 3, whatever it was. It's on that same link. Yeah.
Did you watch it?
No, no. Oh, no.
I appreciate that you just sent me the link.
Yeah. Well, I sent you that other thing as well. Like, It's all there, my friend.
I must have to get some sort of, cast.
It's one of those ones that has been released early VOD, straight to VOD, because of it only came out in cinemas at the start of March. And released it VOD. You could own it for £20.
Oh, brilliant. You know? Oh, yeah. You're saying there were.
That's what they've cancelled all the new releases in the cinema. So the ones that were, I'd say a lot of like the mid-budget ones that were supposed to come out, they'll probably be releasing them straight to VOD. But like they cancelled Wonder Woman, whatever.
Could you say video on demand instead of VOD? Why? It's reminding me too much of POV.
Feel so alive.
That's POD. I said
it is POD.
We are. Seeing them live. They're really good.
The youth of a nation. We are.
And that was about it as far as their hits went. That album was pretty good.
What a time. Alive was on. Cut seen my them. Life into pieces. This was is my last resort.
Massive Papa Roach fan back in the day. Would it be wrong? Would it be right?
One album, they had one single.
I tell you what they had. What was that one? Angels from Angels to Insects.
Yeah.
There's no money, only vernon.
I was just thinking about this the other day.
Yeah.
Of all these like one-hit wonder bands that popped up or whatever like that. Like, remember Hit that me. Song, "Heaven Is a Half Pipe"?
Yes, of course I do.
Who's that by?
If I die before I wake. Was that another? They were mad for their abbreviated band.
It was.
Names.
It was a three-letter thing. It was like.
It was another three-letter thing.
OPD or something.
Heaven is a half pipe.
OPM. 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 Other people's money, of course. I learned that from Sister Sister.
That was actually, well, I mean, I hated it at the time, but I'd listen to it now.
No, I wouldn't. You would listen to it for like a second. You're like, ugh.
I tell you what what album I've gotten into in the last while.
Hit me.
Third Eye Blinds. First of all,
back in, I'm holding.
Semi-Charmed Life. I have never, I don't think I've ever turned it off in a shuffle.
Yeah.
It's been consistently in my top 20 most played Spotify songs for the last like 4 years.
Like a drug for you.
Do whatever what you want to do. Coming over you.
You don't stop.
The lyrics are a bit,
What else? New Girl, they had, like, I went through my phase of downloading all their stuff.
They had that one.
it's at the very start.
Wish that you
Pie.
Come down and from the ledge, my friend. I can't even fucking do it. I'm butchering
Jim Carrey.
Is that on it?
Jim Carrey did it in Yes Man.
Oh, really?
He talked the guy off. You never seen Yes Man?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
I think I did. Oh, I did see it.
And he gets the guitar. Great. Somebody's trying to jump off the ledge. He's playing that song.
Excellent. Yeah, but yeah, the album's quite good. I mean, like, it's one that passed me by in my emo pop punk days.
Yeah, I liked them.
Nice.
They were, that American Pie soundtrack was pretty amazing.
That was money or fire, depending on.
But even like there was like so many songs that was like, say the scene where they're all getting ready for prom. No, it was like
a different scene then.
As you walk down the path, and then it's like, how the hell you ever made it this far? You must something like.
Oh, are you talking about American Pie 1?
Following a star, and I don't think they used it perfectly because the whole album was like pop punk stuff, and then it was like when they're all like in the mirror getting ready or whatever. That was just this like. It was something different completely because that scene was so different where it was like they're all like nervous getting ready to go to a prom, so it was like it was not as upbeat as the rest of the soundtrack.
That was the one that had the
Duke Daniels. That's who it was. Duke Daniels.
I thought American Pie 2 had the better soundtrack.
I tell you. Some 41.
Like that was it. Yeah. You know, like, and just even the whole, like, you know, the intro. Never found out where you lived in, but the sense of
being. I remember being in the Savoy Friday night, the first night that came out. I was like, my arm.
I know.
The hairs are like.
And even like the
best Blink 182 album. Told you.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. Yeah,
but. It is. It definitely is. Like.
Well, it is.
I mean. Inconclusively,
it's possibly the worst one.
Take off your pants and jacket, man.
It's like Enema of the State 2, which Enema of the State 1 is
great. I think Enema of the State is good, and then this is better.
Oh, well, it's not better than Enema of the
State. Yeah, well, it is better. Well, it is.
Well, I'm not going to have this conversation anymore.
Are we recording?
Oh, man.
Anyway, I've also, the last thing I'm going to talk about before we get into The Simpsons, I've also been watching Ozark.
Oh, yeah.
Season 3. No, you didn't like it?
No. Snooze alert. Hit the snooze for another 5 years.
Okay.
I thought that was pretty good. Anyway, go on. Yeah, Ozark.
It's a snooze alert that everybody needs to hit the snooze for 5 years.
Yeah, everyone hit the snooze alert and I'll try it again in 5 years.
But it's not a snooze alert because you're not an oxymoron.
What's an oxymoron?
You're contradicting yourself.
Why?
You can hit snooze. The snooze button.
Yeah, hit the snooze. Snooze alert.
Ozark, it's not. Snooze alert. Is your alarm. It's the same thing.
New season of Ozark. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. Hit the snooze. Oh, thank you.
Hit the snooze button.
Yeah.
Don't say hit the snooze alert.
Well, look, if we're going to be fucking... if we're going to be dissecting dialogue here, Terry.
Yes.
I guess that's what we do.
Very good. Sorry. I'm almost finished season 3. It's a good show.
Very good, isn't it? Yeah?
Yeah, Jason Bateman killing it as, you know, kind of dry, acerbic wit. But it's also pretty gruesome as well. Like,
I thought the first episode was actually quite good, and I watched it up until maybe episode 3 or 4. It's just too grim. Like, you know,
it is a bit grim, but it's also very darkly funny at times. Like,
yeah.
You know,
it's the kind of atmosphere that gets me that I'm kind of a bit.
Is it the green? Is it the green and the blue on the screen?
I love it, but it's a bit. There's definitely a hue on the screen. Yeah,
I don't care for.
I would too. Like, yeah, it does look amazing.
It's mad that it's like this is inland. Like all this water is inland. You know.
Ah, I didn't know that.
It's a lake. It's the Lake of the Ozarks. Oh, so of like course. It's all like in middle. Well, not middle there, but near the south in Missouri. So it's not, they don't have any, it's not a coast, like, you know, but yet right. It's a huge
body. It is a gorgeous spot, wherever it is.
Unbelievable, like, and Laura Linney is fucking deadly in it.
Who is she?
She's the one from Love Actually who could never get her leg over.
I haven't seen Love Actually.
You haven't seen Love Actually? Interesting.
No, sorry. I'm sorry. Was she in something else?
I mean, loads of stuff. I tell you what, she was in the last season of Frasier, the love interest, the blonde one, that Frasier.
Oh yeah, I thought that's who it
she's
was.
She's great.
She is good. Yeah, I like her.
Yeah, she's great. So that's kind of my lot. We also quickly watched Unorthodox. Have you watched this? Have you heard about
it? No,
have
you seen
on Netflix?
No, I haven't.
It's about a woman who escapes the Orthodox Jewish community in New York, like, fucking hell. It's mental.
Yeah?
Oh. It's just, like,
based on true events, or
it's based on a memoir of this woman that kind of ran away from her husband to Berlin from America.
Right.
But basically, it kind of shows you like what the depiction of the Orthodox Jewish community in Williamsburg in New York is, and it's kind of there. This part of that Hasidic Jew community are just focusing on repopulating the Jewish numbers after the Holocaust. So it's like the women are just there for procreation, pretty much.
Right.
Like, you know, like it's just fucking hell, like mental.
It is a bit. I've seen something about the Hasidic community in New York, where it's like there were some real fucked up things going on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I always say, I wouldn't have
thought, based on their sort of somewhat pleasant demeanor. You know what I mean? Like, you would assume that they're gentle, but
I always say to Gentile. Faye, like, I'd love to be Jewish. If I, you know, if I was going to have a religion again, I'd be Jewish. And then she'd kind of turn to me and like,
"Why
you want to be Jewish?" And I was like, "No, not like these Jews, like
you know, all like wrong, baby.
Comedian Jews, like Larry David, or you know, those guys. You know, I like Mel. I said Mel Brooks would be my ideal type of Jew that I would like to be.
I think should he's I be converting talking about this? To. I think he's converting to Judaism just for the jokes.
Exactly, like
you're fucking
Tim Motley.
Oh, what these ones?
Yeah.
Oh man.
And you're an anti-dentite.
You're an anti-dentite.
Maybe we should get into the episode.
Yeah, we're probably
coming up on a half hour or so.
If I may just throw out there, I noticed Community is now on Netflix. And is that a new season? I spotted
the last season. You never watched the last season?
Season 6. I think I must have then, but
I think I must have showed you a few of them. Like,
yeah. If you haven't seen Community and you're looking for something to binge on during this pandemic, there's 6 seasons there. It's like 20 episodes a season. It's one of the best sitcoms I think in the last 20 years.
I remember not too long ago, a couple of years ago, I won the cup with my football team that I managed. We had
congratulations again.
Thank you very much. We had a very big night out on the Saturday. On the Sunday, I was hung over to bits.
Mm-hmm.
Faye was in college, I think, for the day, so I had the day to myself. Mm-hmm. I'd done lunch, greasy lunch, whatever. And I sat on the couch and I couldn't figure out what to watch. And I put on the first episode of the Community and it played through the whole season of like start to finish.
Yeah.
Fell asleep in between episodes, whatever. But it was just that constant, it was that warm blanket of a show that I needed that day.
Yeah,
that, I remember the first episode cocoon. I showed you to get you hooked on it was the paintball one.
I only watched that one yesterday.
Dang.
So good. Jeff Winger, you son of a bitch. It's so funny. I would, if you haven't seen it, I would highly, highly recommend, as would Terry, I'm sure.
Yes, I love very, very so, good.
So yes, it's excellent. Very quickly, very, very quickly, and we'll get in. Started Sons of Anarchy. Let me correct that. Started it and finished it in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It is bollocks. And I was just for the sake to get into something that has loads of episodes, I was like, oh, let's get into something, you know, new. It's your man. What's the story with your man? He's a terrible actor. He's like
actor.
Wiley Wiggins 2.0 in Dazed and Confused.
But he's like, keeps getting work. Like,
who is this fucking guy? I don't really want to know, but
I think you've done the best thing. You pulled the pin early. Yeah. We watched it all the way to the end, and like
season 6.
Let me say tell no you, more. It used to be at the start of the show where it was like if somebody died, it was a huge thing.
Yeah.
And by like season 5 or 6, like there's 20 people dying an episode. They have automatic rifles. Like it's just like mental.
It's not
like,
quite the same.
No. So no, you did yourself a favor. It's
excellent.
Bad and terrible. It ended so terribly.
It just seems like a bit of a
if The Shield ever comes on to Netflix again. Brilliant. Talk about it. That's fucking great, man.
Not for me, but
or Justified. If Justified ever comes on Netflix.
I'd give Justified another go. Talk about your Sky 1 3 p.m. dramas.
3 p.m.
Yeah, that's a, has that Relic Hunter sort of
Justified
vibe.
Justified is FX, man. It's good stuff.
I mean, Timothy Oliphant is in it. I'm not gonna.
Did you ever watch Fargo? No.
The season.
Yeah.
Season one was amazing. Season two, I didn't particularly care for.
Season two is the best season. Tell you that now.
I disagree. So.
I disagree.
Well, I disagree. Listen.
Let's get into the episode.
Dare I say it? Can we talk about The Simpsons?
Sure. Now, I want to say, before we get in, we kind of said we're going to do it a bit more loosey-goosey, our format here. So
we're just trying something, people.
Yeah, so bear with us if, you know what, if you don't like it,
screw off.
Yeah.
We're basically, instead of going sort of script wise from start to finish, we're going to kind of jump around a bit with it and sort of just talk about the bits we liked and if there's any bits we didn't like and things like that, and just sort of see where it goes. It's a little bit more difficult to do the sort of play by play through remote access, so we're just gonna have some fun with it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
We're just gonna have some fun with it.
Yeah.
Anyway, one thing that won't change will be the cold, hard stats at the start of the episode.
Hit me.
It is the 12th episode of The Simpsons' 6th season. It was written by John Swartzwelder.
Good stock.
Good stock. Directed by Jim Reardon. Good stock. Patrick Stewart guest stars as number one.
I'd kind of forgotten who played number one, but my lord.
He's so good.
Would you say this is the highest profile one they got?
Guest?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Star Trek show was fucking huge. Like,
yeah, but they had like Michael Jackson. Like.
Okay. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, you know, technically. Before the unpleasantness. actually, it was right around the unpleasantness. Actually. Anyway, on to more wholesome matters. The episode has received universal acclaim from fans and television critics alike. And the song We Do was nominated for a Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Music and Lyrics. Now, a bit about the production. It was written by John Swartzwelder, but it was suggested by executive producer Merkin.
David.
He didn't have enough time to write an episode and asked Swartzwelder to do it. I find there's a lot of that in The Simpsons of like, you know, it'd be a funny idea. Yeah, if such and such does this. Now go write it. Yeah. Merkin came up with the idea while driving home from a rewrite early in the morning and listening to a religious station where they were talking about Freemasonry, and decided they would make a great episode where people in Springfield were members of a Masonic society and Homer was left on the outside and felt neglected. The song We Do was written by the writer's room, who threw in as many things that annoyed them as they possibly could. As we mentioned, the guest star is Patrick Stewart, who said that, "I think my appearance in The Simpsons and an appearance that I did on Sesame Street in praise of the letter B were perhaps the two most distinguished bits of work that I've done in the US. And Merkin said that Patrick Stewart is one of the best guest performers they've had because he was so committed to the character.
Yeah, he was great.
He was fantastic. Like, and it wasn't like you almost wouldn't know it was Patrick Stewart if his voice wasn't so distinguishable. Like, he was so in character. Like,
did you get what was on Homer's revenge list?
I caught a few of them.
I'll roll it down here. The Bill of Rights is number one.
Okay.
Number two is Grandpa. Number three is Fat-Free Lard. Number four is Gravity. Number five is the Emmys. Hi-oh. A little sharp dig there. Number six, Darwin. Number seven, H2O. Do you remember what the H2O was?
Oh, I remember the voice, H2O.
It is the water slide Homer got stuck in. Is it Krusty Gardens or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Is it Krusty? I can't remember what the name is.
I don't know. Is that an early one?
Billy Crystal is number eight. Number nine is God. Number 10 is Solo Flex. Number 11, The Boy. Number 12, Stern Lecture Plumbing, which is nice. The plumber from earlier on in the episode. Yeah. And number 13 is EconoSave, the chair that breaks on him. Some good stuff in there.
Yeah, I like that. But yeah, I mean, that's basically it. The episode, it actually finished first in the ratings this week. And the highest rated show on Fox that week, and it seemed universal acclaim from critics, often cited as one of the best episodes of the show. The authors of the book that we still haven't read yet, I can't believe it's a bigger and better updated unofficial Simpsons guide, said, "It's a brilliant crack at Freemasonry with all the secret signs, one-upmanship, rituals, and unusual membership rules. Add to this Patrick Stewart's amazing voice, and you have one of the better episodes of the series." And it goes on like that, basically. Yeah. But people loved it.
So I guess we can jump around or whatever.
Can I shock you straight off the bat, and shock you by saying that I didn't care for this at all?
I think it dropped. I was going to say, I think about like a third or halfway through the episode, it drops off in quality big time. Like,
I was somewhat shocked
around the time of the song when Homer becomes a stonecutter. I was like, oh, I don't like it anymore.
They didn't really have anywhere to go with it, you know what I mean? Like, it was actually light on laughs. And now maybe if I seen it for the first time, like the you better run egg, and
I thought that was great though. I liked that.
You know, I liked that. Yeah. But like, there was definitely some moments that made me laugh. But like, I remember when it finished, I was like, geez, I haven't laughed or smiled or exhaled through my nostrils, I don't like, in like 15 minutes or something like that.
I think it's very front loaded. Like, the start of the episode with the plumbing stuff was really good.
That was amazing. The Stern Lecture Plumbing, I told you not to flush that. Great slogan.
And just the idea of like, you know, I won't be able to get the parts for 2 or 3 weeks. That's if I order them today, which I won't.
Which I won't. What a jerk.
Yeah, I probably won't be able to get the parts I need for 2-3 weeks. And that's if I order them today, which I won't.
Oh, dear.
Emergency call. Gotta go.
What should we do until you get back?
Put a pan down there.
Like, even like at the start where the joke with Arnie Pie.
Yeah, where he's the one who crashes.
Yeah, I thought that was good.
It's weird that you even see Homer on the like freeway or like in traffic. Like, and plus, I love how I guess malleable, dare I use that word, is for the Simpsons world, in that like. At the back of the Simpsons house. is the giant.
This is what they talk about with the flexible reality. Like,
very,
you know,
flexible.
You can make a joke about it, and then it'll just be gone the next episode.
Yeah,
you know, like that's like the idea. They talk about it in Itchy and Scratchy Land, where Homer has $1,800 to spend on Itchy and Scratchy money, whereas he makes whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
he makes like $4 an hour or something when they worked it out. Like,
he just takes a wad of cash, puts it on the game. Yeah,
exactly. So I did like there's jokes that are good for the sake of jokes, like at the start where, you know, the whole "it's a secret."
Yeah.
I like all that. Just like their chairs, like a lot of good sight gags at the start, like.
Yeah, like, and plus it's kind of like it's a classic Simpsons thing where it's like, it starts out, it's like just Lenny and Carl, and it's like, what are they up to, and all this sort of stuff. And then when he finally ends up getting in, it's kind of like, just there's just all of Springfield, or all the guys anyway, like, but every male secondary character is there.
But even like before they get into that, like, some of the dialogue I thought at the start was really good, where it was like, you know, Homer thinks it's a conspiracy, and then Bart is like, "Yeah, you think they might be involved in the Kennedy assassination?" Yeah. And he's like, "Yeah, I do. Now." Yeah. And then, you know, she was like, "Marge is saying you can't go stalking people."
This was one of the best jokes of the show.
"I don't want you stalking anyone tonight."
"Oh, okay. Have it your own way, Marge. I'll be back in a minute. I'm going outside to stalk Lenny and Carl."
But I love his thought process of like, okay, have it your way, Marge. And then, like, he's going to, like, sort of try and find a way around it. He's like, I am going outside to stalk. And it's the hand motion. Yeah. It's like, let's just say stalk.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of that, like, you know, I said the quiet part loud and the loud part quiet. It's like, I got to think of a line fast.
They're really good at doing that stuff.
Yeah.
I loved the idea, the visual of the yellow paint can.
Just even the sound of the dripping.
Yeah.
I
just had to follow the yellow drip road.
Yellow drip road. Yeah.
You kind of expected him to be like, backing up the wrong bush, you know, the smartest thing he ever said that nobody's around to hear it. Like,
yeah, it was actually a genius idea.
Yeah, and the thing I noticed when I was watching it, when he gets to the stonecutter's door,
yeah,
and he walks up, and then like your man just like stands,
yeah,
in his way, and he just spins around. I was like, how is that not a gif? Like, how is that not like, you know, the grandpa one is really famous gif.
Oh, where he goes in. Sorry, your sound cut out there. He walks into the burlesque house and walks back out. Yeah.
But like, this was the same thing here. I'm like, how is this not? I was like, that's great animation. Like,
It's all in one stride. Like.
Yeah.
plus as well, when he finally does get in, I did like the gag where he's like, and then throw that, you know, and skin it. He's like, he'll pay the ultimate price. Yes.
Mo is great in this role as, Mo is great. You know, elite club member.
I think he should have to take a different oath.
Yeah, I mean, he's already kind of heavy, yeah.
And just even the way Mo is like, when they say he's going to pay the ultimate price, like, get out of here. He just tosses him. Like.
And like, I love it. It's like Hibbert, like Skinner's like, he will pay the ultimate price. Like, yes. The ultimate prize.
Yeah.
Like Hibbert, and then like, there's only two ways to become a stonecutter anyway. Yeah.
To be the son of a member and save the life of a member.
And this, I've always loved this gag where I never realized that as when I was younger that Lenny is actually just like running off the statistics or whatever, you know, like that the egg council guy. He's like, while it's established that eggs contain cholesterol, it has not yet been proven conclusively that they actually raise the level of serum cholesterol in the human bloodstream.
So one of those egg council creeps got to you too, huh?
Oh, you got it all wrong, Homer. It's not like that.
You'd better run, egg!
The egg, like, sounds like a mouse or something, like...
There's a little squeak to it as he's running away. Yeah.
You better run, egg.
That's always a good line. You better run, egg. I like that.
And it is like you kind of feel sorry for Homer in the episode.
It's so cruel. Like he's talking about, he's like, one of those stupid idiots let me in their crappy club for jerks. Yeah. But like when he talks about how it happened as a kid and all, I'm like, it's so harsh as a kid. Like no Homer's club. Yeah. Like.
Homer Glumpglick.
The name as well. Yeah. I've never seen a guy resemble the word Glumpglick more than
it is really cruel, like
So then you finally get to
how he gets in, like
Abe is a member somehow.
But like I just love the idea of like the way they animate it of like Abe in the background, like, I'm a member, and like everybody, like Bart's head is in front of him, blocking him out, and he's like saying, you know, those self-hypnosis courses we took to help ignore Grandpa, like, it's 5 years later, and I still think I'm a chicken. I'm a chicken, March.
I know. That's actually a great line.
Like,
that's the shitty grin on his face as well, and he says it. I'm a chicken.
I'm a chicken, Marge. And Marge is just so fed up. I know. The cards Grandpa had were, he's an elk, a mason, a communist, the president of the Gay and Lesbian Alliance for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the fact that Homer takes the communist card with him.
And then this is where it kind of like, I don't know. The idea of the thing that bugged me was the idea of like Burns being number 29.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm just trying to apply too much logic to it, but like How are Lenny and Carl members of the Stonecutters before Mr. Burns gets in?
And in what world would Mr. Burns on the outside not make them pay for kicking them up the hole? Like, hey, 29, get over here. Yeah.
I like how he calls himself Monty.
Yeah. That might be one of the first ones, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, patience, Monty.
Monty. Climb the ladder. then you get Patrick Stewart.
What I thought was interesting was, like, number one came out at first, and Mo has given him the whole spiel. It's been foretold that someday a chosen one will, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But, I forgot that Patrick Stewart doesn't speak there. Because you kind of see Patrick Stewart for a good 30 to 40 seconds before he actually says anything, which I thought was quite, interesting.
And, they do the whole initiation with Homer, the leap of faith. He falls. Yeah. Truly, I like the idea of, I always thought they're on a ground floor and they have five sub basements. They're falling through, rather than being on the top floor. I like the idea that it's the bottom floor, going the way through.
This is where it kind of fell a bit flat, because it was kind of they had an idea up to him. He wants to join. Yeah, the comedy was in him not being able to join, and getting left out and trying to get in and all this sort of stuff. And then once he's in, it kind of felt like they just didn't have much, that didn't have much place to go with it,
I don't want to say I hate the rest of it, because I liked the bit where it was the plumber. And he's it's still going to be a couple of weeks,
I'm gonna be honest, I never got around to ordering that pod for you.
But even their interaction where Homer's oh really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, yes.
What if I was to shake your hand in this wise?
I like the fact that he's consulting the manual before he even initiates the handshake, because he's still a noob. Yeah.
And I like how he's of course, and fix it, and then pulls the cat out, and this is the noise the cat was making,
And it's a simple wrench turn.
Yeah.
And that's all he had to do. I just love how fucking what's the word? Just how much of a dickhead the plumber is. He's he doesn't even care that he's telling him the truth. I'm gonna be honest, I never got around. He's not even trying to bullshit him, I never did.
It's he holds all the cards, And it's mad. Remember the plumber from two seasons ago, where it was your problem was just a washer.
Yeah.
That guy,
I got one in my truck. I'll give you.
Get my gun. I didn't really like the whole Stonecutters history, the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, that was kind of a bit of a standalone, it was kind of a nation's born, now let's party, 1799. And
the only thing I liked was the guy, his voice, please, sir, you're destroying my establishment.
Yeah. We just created the greatest democracy on earth, you low-life commoner.
You get into the song,
Now the song is great, right? If you're listening to this, if you're listening to us talk about this episode, you wouldn't think that we didn't like it. And maybe didn't like it is a strong word for me, but you know what I mean. But
I just was, it was one of the, you know what had it in my head for me. You know, it's one of the ones where you think, oh, classic.
Yeah.
And then it's just so underwhelmed.
That's been the sort of a theme for a lot of the episodes, I think, of the last few seasons that, I know we keep bringing up, but the ones that are best known and the best acclaimed, Last Exit to Springfield, that was another one.
Yeah. Mr. Plough being
Mr. Plough didn't do it for me. But you know what I mean? I know you liked it, But the song I liked...
Who controls the British crown? Who keeps the metric system down? We do, we do. Who leaves Atlantis off the maps? Who keeps the Martians under wraps? We do, we do.
back the electric car. Who makes you goober? Us are. We do. Who robs state fish of their sight?
Who rigged every Oscar night?
We do.
Thank you.
The only line that kind of bugged me of it was like, of all the lines they could add in, right? And they have, who robs cave fish of their sight?
Yeah.
I thought that was such an odd one, because it's like, that's not a problem, first of all. Like, who robs cave fish? Who, what were they smoking when they came up with that one? Like, all the things they could to make an ite sound to fit the song, what about who robs cave fish of their sight? It was just a bit like, what about who robs blind people of their sight? Or, you know, like, just something a bit, I don't know, but, like, it just seemed a bit.
Well,
like,
the melody. It can't be like, who robs blind people of their sight?
Yeah, well, like, blind folks of their sight. You could, you could do.
That's pretty harsh.
I mean, that maybe not that exact joke, but something. I don't know.
So Homer, stuck out. Like, essentially, like, he becomes the chosen one.
Yeah.
After he like smashes up the parchment.
Yeah.
When he's eating ribs.
That scene kind of.
Didn't do with me, like,
no, because it's like obviously he would know that's not, you know what I mean.
It went a little too far, I think, with it, like,
yeah. And then
the stone of shame,
it is a classic joke, that stone of triumph, stone of shame.
I love the animation of his feet where he's trying to drag the stone of triumph, and it's just
he's really trying to get a bit of purchase on the ground,
And then it's like, it kind of gets to like a weird thing.
That's almost kind of it. You know what I mean? Like, there's 4 minutes to go, and it's like, he tries to do good, and he's helping the community and all this. It's like, it's great and all, but like, there wasn't that many sort of laughs in it. I feel like I'm being harsh on it.
No, but like,
it's kind of how I felt watching it. You know what I mean? We're not normally this harsh.
End, you know,
yeah, and they're really, yeah, anyway.
So you kind of get like, you know, they're playing the cards and he doesn't like it,
yeah.
You know, he has a royal sampler.
Sampler.
I tell you what, I did like where it was like Skinner to Lisa, the way he claps his hands and like.
Yeah.
Goes down on his hands and knees and backs out of the room.
The way he backs out on his knees, like, and I like the fact that even though Homer is like a nice leader, he still uses his power to just walk into the school and have a sit down with his daughter in the middle of class.
And you know what? Like, there was a couple of bits towards the end where like Homer says they're going to do good, and like Mo is like, he's got mad with power, like the Albert Schweitzer guy. And then just the idea of like, you get like the stonecutters grand council together.
First of all,
like, how is Moe's, is he like number two almost? Like,
he's calling so many of the shots. Like,
like, we gotta kill him.
I did like Moe going down the slide. He's like, oh, for the love of God. But yeah,
you get the World Council, which is,
and like, is Mo actually Homer's friend? Because we've now got two episodes where he's initiating what he thinks is Homer beating the shit out of him, and then now in this one he wants
also him. He threatened to give up all the dirt on him to the press. Bidding starts at 10 G's.
We got the real dirt on him. Was that the episode before?
It's three in a row, I think. Like.
What's he? It's only for the fact that he's his beer dealer, essentially.
So you got the World Council, which is Orville Redenbacher, kill him. Jack Nicholson, kill him.
Yeah.
Mr. T, kill the foo. And then you get Bush. I have to disagree with Orville, Jack, and Mister. Can't we just do something to his voice box?
I like that. That is like Bush. First of all, he's like, and Mister. But like, you think like, all right, he's going to be the reasonable one, but he's even more obviously, sinister. Like, can't we just do something to his voice box?
So then they decide this is how the episode ends, where it's, you know,
maybe we don't want to be stonecutters no more.
The first meeting of the ancient mystic society of no Homers. And it's just a bit sad.
It's so harsh. Like, it's so harsh on Homer.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, it didn't really, it was kind of like, you know, even though Homer had no sort of, like, the Simpson family didn't have much part to play in the episode, they just kind of swoop in at the end with a, like, well, you know, you still have us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I did like the rings jokes. Yes. Like, and two of them have special rings. Did you have those kind of rings when you were a kid?
Yeah, yeah, when I was a kid, I had Dakota rings.
It's the tone they get. It's the high-pitched...
I meant our wedding rings!
It was perfect. I like the fact that Marge is annoyed by it. He's like, I meant our wedding rings! But,
And then they're battling him at the end.
Yeah. Weird that Marge is letting this happen as well.
Marge is instigating it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's it.
I mean, look, it's... I don't know if it was coupled with the fact that we're doing this on Skype and that we didn't particularly care for the episode, but I kind of felt like just going through from start to finish. You know, it was worth trying it out a different way.
Yeah, for this one, I just wasn't so sure about it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I think I would have. Like, we didn't really miss much when we're going through it, but like also. Yeah, like if I wanted to say, if I enjoyed it more, I probably would want to talk about it more.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, I was kind of, and it's weird because it's like the Stonecutters episode. Like, it's, you know.
It is. Oh, it's a classic. And it's like, is it though? Like,
it's like, be up there. And if you ask the man in the street their top five Simpsons episodes,
probably
I'd say
it.
Most of them would say Stonecutters would be in it. Like, and I might have even said it up until, you know, a certain point.
But when I looked back at what we were doing this week, I was like, oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
And I was
but like what is it? What is it about this episode that makes me... Is it the one-line jokes? The little, you know... Because, like, I remember looking back thinking, what a great episode. But then if I actually stopped and think, okay, but what is so great?
I'll tell you what it is.
It's because it's different. It's something, yeah, you know...
It's like, for me, when, like, Homer goes to space.
It's like a big thing. It's a thing.
It's too much of a, like... Yeah, you know, it almost seems like a later season story, you know.
Yeah,
and like,
that's exactly what
the one in space was funnier. That's the thing. I enjoyed the one in space more, but with this one, it just
it was kind of like, that's it. Like, that's what you're getting is the premise, you know, you do the rest.
Yeah, like whereas last week we talked about Marge, fear of flying.
Yeah,
it was so much more in that, like, such a basic premise.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, there was so much more.
It was like two completely different shows almost. Yeah, even the animation I noticed on this one was different to Fear of Flying. Fear of Flying had a more season 7-8 animation sort of vibe. Yeah. This one almost had a season 4 animation sort of vibe, I thought.
You won't be ragging on my season 4, man, tell you.
Not ragging on it, I'm just, but it looked very season 4-ish. Now, I will say this as well. I did watch this on Disney Plus. Did you?
Yeah, me too.
I'm not a fan of the aspect ratio that everyone's gone on about. No, it's like they're chopping it in half, like, and they don't give you the option to...
It's weird, isn't it?
I thought they were going to give the option. Yeah, go on.
It's coming, apparently.
What's so difficult about it, like?
I don't know. Ask Mickey.
We're in the middle of a fucking pandemic here. And we're watching that.
You won't take what you get and like it. Don't make me come over there, Cantwell.
Oh. And who's going to stop me?
Oh, it makes little Chinese tingle. Oh, these purity rings sound fucking... What a stroke of genius that was.
I know. It's so perfect. Yeah.
Oh, so, like, clever. That Mickey Mouse is, you know, fucking insane.
Tyrant. Like, well, look, let me ask you.
Ratings?
I'm going to ask you for an MVP and a rating to keep it going.
My MVP, I think, is Homer.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Homer.
Yeah.
Just because I liked a lot of the stuff that he did in the first half. And I just, I love the whole the egg stuff. I like the idea of. I just liked his little adventure in the first 7 minutes or so. You know, that was enough to keep me, to give it to me.
Yeah.
My rating is gonna be. This is a weird thing to say.
It's gonna
be like. I'm gonna give it a 7.9.
Still, it's your lowest. Oh no! What did we give a 6 to? I keep forgetting.
I think we gave a 6 to the clip show or something.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But so, it's the lower end of actual episodes for me.
Yeah, definitely 7.9. Okay. I will give my MVP to Mo.
He was my close second.
Yeah, he had some great lines in it. I just love his attitude in general. Yeah. Like, if Mo was on, I'm laughing. Like,
Oh my God.
My rating, I'm not going to put it into the sixes, but I'll give it a 7.2.
Yeah,
that is my.
There's normally about a 0.7 margin between the two of us.
There is actually, isn't there? Well, look. We've put that one to bed. Now I should say as well, you know, it's late as well.
It's late in the evening. Wondering what clothes to wear.
So listen, Terry.
Get our plugs in?
Where can they find us, pal?
You can find us pretty much anywhere online. You can get us on Twitter. Where can they get us on Twitter?
At Put an H Podcast.
Same on Snapchat?
We're not on it.
Instagram.
Folks, that's why I do the social media.
That thing. Instagram. Facebook.
We are on Twitter.
The same. Put an...
the old
same
SM.
Same on Facebook.
No, your audio cut out again there, so if you told the joke, I didn't get it.
No, I was just asking. Okay. It was the same on Facebook.
Facebook is different. Facebook is just Put an H Podcast. I never put anything on unless it's vicariously through Instagram.
Yeah, fair enough.
But we're on Instagram, Twitter. I mean, like, look, you all know exactly where to find us at this stage.
No, but if you're a new listener, this could be the latest episode. Come on, do it.
Sorry.
Do it.
Put an H Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. You'll find us. The episodes are there, along with our other podcast that we do, What's So Great About, where we go through the Marvel Cinematic Universe, movie by movie, kicking and screaming on one of our accounts.
That is also on our Patreon feed. It'll be moving exclusively to the Patreon feed
in a couple of weeks, probably.
A mere matter of weeks. So if you like what you're hearing on that, and you want to keep hearing it, well, you can support us by donating or subscribing 5 big ones a month.
Yeah, and it's like a pint.
I'll tell you what, folks, we have recorded a little few bonus sodes that are going on the Patreon feed as well, because we're so thankful for the people that have been supporting us.
Yes,
sir. Decided we'd give back a little bit more.
Yeah.
And if, I know times are tough at the moment, if you can't fiscally support us, you can support us by giving us a rating or review on iTunes or whatever your podcast app is.
That would be great. Thank you very
it
much.
Really helps
for the ratings.
Grow the pod.
Specifically, if I can just come back to the money though, Terry. Sure, you know, times are tough, and you know, a lot of people are out of work. What else are you spending it on? You know what I mean. What else are you spending it on but entertainment at home? Because you can't be going out. So unless you're getting your shopping, you've got your shopping, the shelves are stocked. What else are you doing? Am I right? So if you saw us, would you buy us a pint? Well, get your credit card out, because...
Before we wrap up, I would just like to say, because we should all be in isolation at the moment.
Yes.
I just want to say, hope everybody out there is staying safe, I hope everybody is taking it seriously. I myself personally just had a close friend of mine pass away due to the coronavirus. I'm not going to mention his name because of his family or whatever that there, but it is very serious out there.
Yeah.
It's, you know, this lad is the same age as I was. If you know me personally, you know who I'm talking about. He was a great bloke and gonna miss him dearly, but it's very serious out there, guys, so please be staying safe.
Well said. And
another thing I'd like to say is a big thank you to you, Andy, because this is a very recent thing that's happened to me, and being able to come on here and chat with you and have a bit of a laugh really helped take my mind off it. So it's a big thank you to you. So.
Well, not at all. It was shocking to hear it myself, but yeah, just take it seriously out there. But
so just like take it seriously, guys. It's fucking it's mental out there, and like we all want to be here.
Yeah.
When it blows over and fucking Anyway, sorry to put it on a bit of a downer at the end there, folks. But like, it is important to me that we are doing the right things, and I hope everybody is staying safe.
Absolutely.
Out there, listening to us.
So hopefully this, if you are getting down about the coronavirus, anyone out there, hopefully this hour long podcast of us talking shite is in some way.
Yeah.
Yes. And if you want to get the really good stuff, you just got to get out that credit card, put in a few little digits. What is it? It's nothing. So I'll leave it there. Listen, I've said my piece, and
we'll see you guys next week.
See you next week. Thank you very much for listening.
Today, you were far away, and I didn't ask you why. Could I say I was far away? You just walked away. And I just watched you. Could I say how close am I to losing you? Close the mind.